Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. This is episode 260. I'm Graham.
And I'm Sean. How's it going, Graham?
Yeah, and, you know, not bad. This episode, we have a lot of stuff to cover, despite the fact that kind of nothing's going on right now. But we have some interesting new releases to talk about.
And we actually had some interesting news, too, which is unusual for this time of year.
And later we'll be talking about what we're looking forward to for the rest of the year. But let's go ahead and go around the panel. Before I do, Sean.
Yes.
How have you been?
I've been all right.
Yeah.
Trying to get used to it raining every day for the last month and a half.
Okay.
I'm tired of the rain. I'm ready for it to stop.
I agree. As someone who also lives in the Mid-Atlantic on the East Coast, it's raining all the time.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. It needs to stop raining, or
it really does.
Or the places I go need to stop charging for parking passes.
On the other hand, when it's not raining, it's 100 degrees. So I kind of I'm not sure which one I want.
And then there was that day where it was raining and 100 degrees.
Oh, that was awful.
Yeah,
I tried to
broil something outside.
Did it work?
No.
Mm. I pushed an egg that day,
but I'm sure it would have. All right. Also on the panel this week is Andrew. Hey, Andrew, how's it going?
It's going all right. I just watched 2 hours of giant robots punching giant monsters in the face. So, yeah, things could be worse.
That sounds like a fun time.
It was.
We work in video games, so that's just a normal week. But
I guess other
people are also experiencing that.
So,
we're not really qualified or equipped to discuss films, but let's just do it anyway.
All right.
Pacific Rim, what's the deal?
It is basically anime.
Okay. Is it anime?
It's basically anime.
But
that could be a good thing or a bad thing depending on who you're telling that to.
And whether they
I'm telling you it's a great thing. It's an amazing thing.
Okay.
It's the best thing actually.
Is it animazing?
I would never go that far.
All right. Also, with us this week is Lucas. How's it going, Lucas?
Hey, pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
I've been in school for a little over a month now, and I'm finally hitting my major classes. So,
yay!
I'm actually happy to be there now.
I remember that major moment.
Journalism.
Oh, no. I've come back from the future to warn you. Never mind.
Well, I wanted an English degree, so either way, I was going down this road. And
yeah, when you get journalism degrees, people assume you work in journalism. When you get English degrees, people assume you work in coffee houses.
Yeah.
You work anywhere.
Yeah, but they're hiring in coffee houses, so.
That's true, yeah.
Also with us this week, Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
How's it going?
Steam is plotting against my wallet.
Yeah, have you jumped in any of the sales?
A few of them.
Yeah. I know you have a lot of PC games to play already, frankly.
True.
Probably too many already.
That's the trouble with Steam sales.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I'll install some of those games I bought last time at some point. Everybody was really anticipating this year's Steam sale, but I'm like, oh, right. I bought those games in December. Maybe I should try some out.
I
tried one out. It was good.
Oh, I think I bought like 40 games in my first Steam sale.
Yeah.
And then I haven't played but like 5 of them.
Yeah, I think.
So I've been slowly buying more anyway, because that's what you do.
Oh, yes. No, I'm familiar with that.
But every time I'm like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Purchase.
I think this
why
time.
Why am I doing this again? Put in cart.
Yeah. The last few times I've still been excited, despite the fact that I've owned most of it, because there's been a couple. The last few times there've been these like small Japanese games that have seen release, through either Xseed or Carpe Folger or something, where like there'd be a couple, you know, East games or something that would sneak onto the list and then show up in the next sale. This time, I don't know. I guess 1 and 2 Chronicles Plus, is that happens since the last Steam sale, but yep. that's about it. No really weird Carpe Folger stuff right now. I don't know.
Not really.
Just actual games.
I really like the sales.
Many days to go, though.
You're right. Yeah.
I like the sales because a lot of the smaller games that I enjoy, like pretty much all of the Daedalic games or To the Moon and stuff like that, they go on sale on cheap enough that I'm like, yes, more people will buy them and play them and enjoy them.
Like, yes. I totally don't, I'm not motivated to buy games I want to succeed at low prices because I know for a fact that that's just cutting into their margins. But I do like the fact that other people are like buying it and spreading the word.
Yes.
Like in a way, if I want to support a game and I see it in the Steam sale and I'm like, I'll finally get it, I will wait. And then, okay, the Steam sale's over, I'm gonna buy it. Is that weird?
I think the reason I always get excited about the Steam sales is that's my chance to recommend a bunch of games to people pretty much every day for like 10 days or something.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, it's what? Like, it's kind of news. Let's talk about it. Let's recommend games to people. So, Andrew.
Okay. Yeah.
Right now, this Steam sale, what?
All right. Well, see, the problem is I don't know if this will still be on sale by the time you're listening to this, but I'm going to assume it will be because
things that are on deep sale usually are on still pretty good sale regardless. Okay. Yeah. So
well, as of right now, The Witcher 2 is only $5 and I think everyone should play that game. Assuming your PC can run it. You should definitely check that out. It's one of my favorite games for the past few years.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Highly recommended. Two thumbs up.
Okay. We gotta keep some of the thumbs on whatever you're using to play it, right?
So maybe just one thumb up for now. And then save the other one for later.
Okay. I'm on board with that.
Okay.
Hey, Sean. Yes. What would you recommend to people this time?
I'm going to have to recommend one that I'm sure that Andrew was thinking of recommending.
Okay.
It's going to be To the Moon. It is still on sale for 70% Ooh. Off.
Nice.
And it can be given two thumbs up because you don't need thumbs to play it.
Just use your face.
No, you can use it on your mouse.
Oh, right. That's true.
Well, you don't need the thumb for your mouse.
If you put your thumb up, though, you're you're still holding the mouse?
Yeah, you can still hold the mouse around it, and you can click ring finger and pinky finger.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, you're holding the mouse sideways up in the air?
Sure.
Okay.
There's some mice that can do that.
I guess.
I can't guarantee yours can.
You're going to need that face to read the text in the game, though. It is a plot-driven game.
Mm.
That's true. You can't use your face.
Mm.
Also, that might hurt after a while.
Making some really good points here. Counterpoint, Sean?
Counterpoint is, regardless of how you have to play it, you have to play it. Because it is a wonderful, wonderful story. And everyone should experience it.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough.
This was me like 2 years ago.
I finally played it over Christmas. Yeah. And I've been like him since then.
Now everyone else has played it, so I'm happy. It just took a little while. But
yeah.
Yeah, well, I bought it after you told me to. I just never got around to it. Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Lucas.
Tomb Raider.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's
just under 18 hours.
You know,
it is $12.50.
Yeah, that might have fallen.
It has trading cards.
You know. Yeah.
Oh yeah, The Witcher 2 has trading cards as well. If you're really into that sort of thing.
Well, I think it has cards whether or not you're into it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can sell those things for, like, pocket change.
That's true. And you could probably get a lot of them just by idling, I think. That's at least what it seems like for a lot of games.
Yeah. Cool. Jeff, what you got?
I don't think it's on deep sale right now, but Mark of the Ninja.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark of the Ninja.
Probably one of my favorite stealth games this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Mark.
It's really good. So, people should probably play that game.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, have all of you guys bought something on the sale so far?
I haven't this year. I pretty consistently, the sale brings everything down to the lowest price it was on the last day, which is always comforting to me. So, I'm just waiting, but I'll buy probably a lot of it.
Those of you that have, what did you guys pick up? Or what was the one thing you were most excited to pick up?
I think I'm about to buy Last Remnant, but I'm still hesitating.
You told us you were sold.
Yeah, I know, but it's money I don't really have.
$3.
Steam sale, though.
Yeah, you gotta buy something.
Just thinking about logic and budgets. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Actually, there is budgeting software on sale.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's maybe my favorite thing. Hey! You need a budget. Yes, you do. Like,
there's probably that one guy who waits for that stuff to go on sale during the Steam sale. He's
like,
really excited about it.
It's just money.
Yeah, I saw that there, and I'm just like, someone at Valve has an amazing sense of humor.
Yeah. But yeah.
I ended up picking up the Civilization V expansion since it was on sale. I don't know why, since it came out last week.
Well, I did Steam.
Yeah.
I picked that up as well. It came out on last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling it wasn't supposed to go on sale because generally the newest DLC in a series will not go on sale.
Yeah, but if it releases and then, a couple after a couple of days pass, the people who wanted it immediately bought it, and then a Steam sale happens and it's not on sale, then it's just not going to sell any copies for the next month. It's just
Yeah.
That's true.
Before I move on, hey, I want to recommend that people buy something.
Go ahead.
Didn't ask me.
Hey, Graham.
Yeah.
I assumed you hadn't played anything on it yet.
Steam? I've played some things.
Yeah, you buy everything, but you don't necessarily play any of it.
True. Fair enough.
So, Graham, you have a game to recommend?
So, if you haven't played it yet, it's been around. It's been in a couple of indie bundles, but right now it's $2.50. Slam Bolt Scrappers? Is it the PC version is on sale? It was originally a PSN game, and I don't know if you remember when I talked about this when it came out on PSN. But it's a co-op brawler party puzzle tower defense game.
So basically, all of your favorite things.
It's all of everything.
Yeah,
it's not turn-based, so it didn't have all my favorite things, but okay. But yeah, so the thing is that you take pieces and you use them to make squares of a color, which then turn into towers, which attack your opponent's tower, which is just like a Tetris-shaped puzzle area, but then you punch people and steal their pieces and take their pieces. I don't know, it's kind of crazy, but if you play it with people, it's there is nothing like it at all. So you should play it. I think, that's all I need to say. There's nothing like it, and you should play it. And okay. The Firehose Games guys kind of need your money, because no one, They also have another game on Steam called Go Home Dinosaurs, which is more of a traditional tower defense game, but it's pretty well done. And also, it has dinosaurs.
That's a great title.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. All right, so let's move on to the rest of the news. Sean, what's going on in the world of games?
Well, first off, the big thing seems to be that there is a new Ratchet & Clank called Into the Nexus that was announced.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, you want to talk about that? I know you do.
Yes. Okay, so this is coming out for the PS3, not the PS4, which for some reason some people are upset about. I don't know. But I think it's really cool that Sony has a pretty good lineup for the PS3 this holiday, despite the fact that they're launching a new console.
Yeah.
So
this may be the best year of PS3 releases. They're
crazy, right?
I think there was a pretty solid year in 2010 or something.
2010, yeah. 2009 was pretty good too. That was the year Uncharted and Demon's Souls came out. Uncharted 2, that is.
Okay.
Maybe.
But either way, pretty solid year. But yeah, so now we have a downloadable
and retail release. Yeah. Ratchet and Clank game. It's a budget price game. It's only $30. So they were really quick to assure everyone that it's not going to be super short, but it isn't going to be as long as, let's say, a Crack in Time, the last really big Ratchet and Clank game, but it's basically serves as an epilogue to that story. So I assume that this will kind of lead into whatever PS4 Ratchet games happen, which I assume will happen probably.
Well, let me ask you this. What if this is the last Ratchet and Clank game?
Then I'll be sad, but then I'll just hope it's really good because the last two weren't the best. I know some people really liked. Full Frontal Assault, but it wasn't my thing.
It was a different thing.
Yeah, a traditional Ratchet and Clank game. Yeah. As long as it's at least okay, I'll be happy. And I was kind of hoping Insomniac would take a couple years off the franchise and just kind of
might take a lot of years off the franchise.
Yeah, I know.
Might
build
a PS4 engine for Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They're making a movie. There might be a movie tie-in game. Which would be really weird.
Oh,
but...
no. Oh, no.
Why not? Let's do it. I just really like Ratchet and Clank, and I hate where the series has gone lately, so I'm glad that there's at least going to be one more traditional game for everyone to enjoy, including myself.
Yeah, so I think maybe we need to know a little more about it before we can say much else, except for that, hey, there's another game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Ratchet and Clank, so I'm going to buy it. That's all I know.
you've bought all the Ratchet and Clank games?
I have even bought the HD collection, and I've barely touched it. I just wanted to buy it.
Did you buy Size Matters?
I bought it when I had a PSP briefly. Even though I knew I didn't like it.
Secret Agent Clank?
Okay, that's the one. But that doesn't say Ratchet and Clank in it. So there. How about that?
So you're a Ratchet fan.
Yeah, just Ratchet.
So you did get Quest for Booty, but you didn't get Secret Agent Clank.
Yes, I did get Quest for Booty.
So what is it you have against robots?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Now Clank's pretty cool. I just never played Secret Agent Clank because I didn't think Size Matters was that great, and it was another game from that developer, so.
Okay.
Wasn't excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Ratchet.
Okay.
And Clank.
See, now you're just trying to overcompensate. I can see the hatred.
Ratchet and Clank. Clank and
Ratchet.
Hey,
Sean, what's more news?
All right, more news is the Namco Bandai has already announced that we will be getting Tales of Xillia 2, even though we haven't gotten the first one yet, which is much faster than I think anyone expected to hear whether we get it or not.
Yeah, so, okay, before we start, it's probably based in pre-order numbers. But again, we're not really qualified to talk about anything but games, but I don't know if you guys ever saw the show Better Off Ted. Did you guys ever see that show?
I did.
I think I've seen one episode. It was pretty good.
You should see more.
I believe so, yes. Okay. But yeah, so that was a really good show, and it got crazy low ratings, but it debuted so far into the season. It was like May before it debuted that it got renewed before the first season aired, so we got two seasons of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
basically what's happening here, is what you're saying.
I wish more people liked it, but really it's a win-win. So sure.
Yeah.
So yay, we're getting it.
Yeah, I mean we're getting Xillia 1, 2, and that HD collection of the two Symphonia games. So
oh well,
that's pretty good for Tales fans, which I am not one of, but Sean is.
Was wondering when the other shoe was going to drop. Yeah. So now getting Xillia 2 is good. Do you think getting HD collection of Symphonia and Dawn of the New World is good for Tales fans?
Symphonia was kind of the game that really took off.
Yeah.
Symphonia was like the big Tales game that.
And really, I like it a lot, but Andrew is someone who really hates it. Do you think reminding people of what that game actually was is a good long-term strategy for Namco?
Hey, there are people that love that game, and those people will buy that HD collection.
They will.
You know, those people will be happy, probably.
I think Tales fans will love having an HD version of Symphonia, but I don't think reminding people that it got a sequel is a good idea.
That's the one thing.
You don't like catching and training monsters and then having guest characters from the first game show up for like one chapter, not be able to customize or level up, and that's it, and just say bye to them? You don't like that part?
No, no, I don't.
Sounds like Black and White 2.
Do you not like the amazing voice acting from whoever they happen to pull in off the street?
Oh.
I think.
All right.
What about sums it up?
Here's the thing. I kind of like that game. Because I was a big fan of Symphonia, and I was a sucker for the fact that they had the character show up.
So basically, this HD collection is for you.
No.
No?
I'm specifically the guy who likes it in retrospect, but probably doesn't need to be reminded of it.
Oh, okay.
I might get it anyway.
Some people continue to love Symphonia 1, at least.
And I'm the guy that bought Symphonia 1 on GameCube and never played it.
So, yeah. There you go,
yeah.
Sean. That's great. For you.
And I can't find the second one, so.
Well, the second one's pretty easy to find. The first one's crazy rare and expensive.
Well, I haven't been able to find the second one. But I have the first one. Like usual, things didn't apply as usual to me.
Logic doesn't apply as usual to you. All right. Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
It seems like we're done talking about that news. How about you move to the next news?
How about we move to the fact that we're getting a bunch of crazy Japanese games coming?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, Anime Expo happens. That basically... That explains all
news from Graham. Anime and Expo happens.
All of the visual novels come to America.
We got game news from an event that was not a game event. So what we got was basically like six announcements of translated visual novels. Sean, you want to go through the what we got and then we can talk about it?
All right. We got Steins Gate coming.
Yep.
We have Danganronpa and Demon's Gate.
Yep.
And
so many gates.
I know. Next, we'll have Bill Gates.
We already have Bill Gates.
Oh. Well, can we send him over there and then bring him back?
I remember last time we sent him to Japan, he said really, really horrible things and then tanked the fate of an entire console for a decade.
All right, so they probably don't want him over there.
Yeah.
All right, so next we have Sorcery Saga, The Curse of the Great Curry God.
Yeah. Mm. That's like... That one in the visual novel, right?
I have no idea. It sounds like one.
I think it's a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, like a type. Yeah.
The title sounds like a sounds like one.
Okay then. No, that one's a weird dungeon crawling RPG. Yeah. About curry.
Well, it is Axis. So.
Yeah, but So, but before we can move on, since you bring that up, Axis is bringing over the weird like, isn't that a Compile Heart game or something? Idea Factory or something. I remember that like the game that everyone thought that Nippon Ishii was bringing over, Axis brought over, and the two visual novels that everybody thought Axis was bringing over, Nippon Ishii said, "Hey, we got these." It was weird. I just thought like it seemed like maybe like on their way walking up to the announcement podium, they like bumped into each other and then dropped their folders and then picked up the wrong ones.
They just didn't notice.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, are
and then they
are
just
sure
went
about,
with it.
Sure
it's like, oh,
one?
Okay. Well, I guess we're doing this now.
Are you talking about Sweet Fuse or the curry game?
The curry game, I believe.
Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, so we're getting a lot of visual novels, which I think is good.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope they don't tank entire companies.
I think Danganronpa is probably going to do pretty well.
Yeah. So you want to tell us about what it is?
I don't know a whole lot about it. It's kind of similar to, I guess, 999 as far as tone goes. But the interesting thing about the game is that there's a big following on Something Awful because there's this guy that's been doing a sort of translation Let's Play.
Yeah.
That's kind of blown up all over the internet. So a lot of people are excited about it.
Hey, I mean, with a game with a small audience like that, it just takes something simple to make it completely profitable.
Or something awful.
And it's about a like murderous teddy bear, so
that's
fun.
Oh, well, okay.
I'm not good.
I think we've had a game about that.
Okay, I'm kind of proud of you, Andrew. but, yeah, I don't know. There are a couple games I wish we could get that I wish... really dumb internet things would happen with, but
what games?
You know what games?
You just have to say them. Yeah, you gotta say them.
Soccer Wars and Valkyria Chronicles 3. We done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we needed to get them mentioned somewhere.
We do.
No, it's we gotta fill our quota.
Okay, Ghost Recon Shadow Wars, Neo Geo Pocket Color, But what else we got to go here?
We already Sean mentioned To the Moon for me.
Yeah. So okay. Yeah, that's
good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that about covers it.
Okay, Lucas, you want to say something about liking Dynasty Warriors, and Andrew, you want to say something about hating Dynasty Warriors? And Jeff, just say something about an MMO that we wouldn't understand. I think we're good if we can touch bases. Okay.
Can I interject for a second, though, before we move on to say that Steins Gate also probably has a good chance of doing well because it has such a big anime presence.
Yeah, so that...
Funimation pushed it pretty hard, and it's like a movie's coming out.
Yeah, like that's super crazy long running, and I know we haven't gotten much of anything.
And Steins Gate's actually like a fan translation that was purchased, wasn't it?
I believe so, because that one's coming out from Jazz.
Yeah.
So it like kind of new to the scene and really doesn't have a lot of pre-existing standards and agreements, so they can just kind of like, how about this? Does this work? Great. So we'll finally get to see what that game is, I guess.
It does make a lot of sense to announce all of these things at Anime Expo and not something like E3 or PAX.
Certainly. Nobody at PAX would care. I mean,
yeah. These are exactly the sort of things that would completely fall through the cracks at any of the major gaming conventions.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we're talking about them right now. Say. Well, I mean, we'd talk about them when they released, but if they were announced during E3 week, I don't...
No, even we wouldn't have talked about them. We talk about weird stuff sometimes.
Yeah. All right, but, I'm glad we're getting them, and I think this is a good time to talk about them, and yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Got anything else, Sean?
We also have Dota 2 releasing, and unfortunately Henry's not here to talk about it, because he's the only one of us that's played it.
Yeah, I've been talking to Henry for, it's been like half a year. Every week we're like, hey, Henry, you got anything you want to talk about? It's like, well, we're Dota 2, so we'll talk about it when it releases. We'll talk about it when it releases. And then he's not here. And Dota 2 release.
Though, the difference between beta and release is pretty much.
Yeah.
The difference is they let in anyone during beta, but now they're being weird, being slow about letting new people in.
Yeah.
Everyone's had a million free copies of on Steam.
Yeah.
The Dota 2 beta invites pretty much just sit in people's inventories and multiply.
Yeah. So was already out because of
that. Yeah.
I somehow haven't gotten an invite yet, which is interesting, but that's okay because I have League of Legends I've been playing instead.
League of Legends is also out.
It is out.
It is.
Yeah.
It's been out for a good, how many years?
3 or 4? Something like that.
Yeah.
I found out about it a year ago because I'm still like that sometimes.
Yep.
Okay, we have any more news or should we move on?
We got some Street Pass games coming out.
Yeah!
I don't know anything about those, and I never get Street Passes, so I'm not interested.
You get Street Passes sometimes when you remember to bring your 3DS to the show floor instead of in your hotel room.
Yeah, I apparently left it online, or powered on, and it died. And I found out like a week ago when I went to turn it on.
Okay, so some Street Pass games came out. Did anybody else pay attention to them? Because I bought them the moment I found out they were out. This is just me.
I think it's all you on this
just
one.
You.
Okay.
Just you.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I will be.
Yeah.
Because I'm planning on traveling in about a month to a place that will have Street Passes.
Yes, there will be a lot of them there.
Otakon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fun. New Street Pass games, sure, whatever. But the thing is, basically, these are 4 Street Pass games made by, actual studios. So, I'll go through them. There's Mi Force, which is, a side-scrolling shooter / vertical-scrolling shooter when it wants to be. It's kind of strange. Wait, who made that one? Oh, man. It's going to bug me. Anyway, but the idea behind it is that, you can street pass up to 10 people, and what you do is you put them around your ship, and those are your bullets. So you can shoot straight forward, straight back, slightly up and forward, and slightly down and forward, and then you put in people to each of those spots, And then you can also choose to put people behind them to power up those shots, either like by choosing to do that instead of having other bullets, or I don't know. It's interesting. But the levels are kind of like score chasing, and they're leaderboards. I don't know. It's very different from the kind of things that you've been able to do with Street Passes before. Man, who did that one? That's gonna bug me.
You'll know as soon as we finish recording. You'll find out.
Oh, it was Good Feel. Good Feel. The studio behind Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Ooh.
So yeah. Wow. Then there's one that's a garden, where you grow flowers and
It's not a chow garden.
No, it's straight up. It's like flowers, and you cross pollinate. Flowers, it's a little, I don't know.
Based on Street Passes?
Yes. So it's randomly generated what flowers people have if they don't have the game, but if they have it, then they have their own like customized special flower that like you cross pollinate with yours, and you're trying to complete a collection and stuff. It's interesting. And that one's made by Grezzo. They did Ocarina of Time 3D.
But are these games that still interact with people that don't own the games?
Yes.
Because that's really cool.
Yeah, so I mean, you get special stuff if they have it. But yeah, it'll just straight up count as a generic something that'll go by. But the third one is made by Chunsoft, and it is a Romance of the Three Kingdoms style, like, conquest game.
What?
it's a little more straightforward, but you amass armies and then fight against opponents. It's like a vaguely rock, paper, scissors based system, and that like the symbols even have rock, paper, scissors in there just to make sure you know which ones go what, because they're spears, arrows, and swords or whatever. But you like every time you go in, you have a number of troops and your enemy has a number of troops, and they've allocated which of their troops go to which of their armies, and then you allocate yours, and then you like choose which one. And it's not the most complicated combat, but
that sounds neat.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one is definitely the best one. I'll go ahead and say that. The fourth one is made by Prope, Yuji Naka Studio. Mm-hmm. And you are exploring a mansion by getting pieces of the mansion floor by street passing with people and getting like, I'd say Tetris shapes, but it can be any from 0 to 5 tiles, but they're contiguous weird shapes to fit into places to explore floors to try to find the pathway up. You encounter ghost enemies, and you have equipment that you gather and find in chests. And if you put the pieces down so that you have squares of the same color, you find chests with items and stuff in them. And like, there's actual combat. I don't know. It's kind of cool. So if you only get one, I suggest getting that one. But they're doing this thing right now where they're $4.99 a piece, but you can get all of them all at once at the very beginning for $15. Either way, it's kind of interesting. And I just think they went a cool way with it by giving these developers a chance to make something, you know, instead of just being like, well, random Nintendo team members will do it. Letting people actually kind of put their mark on things is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, you get tickets for hats. Hat tickets.
Oh, boy.
That's
going Valve.
Well, I mean, yeah. So you get tickets. They're kind of like achievements for doing things in each of the games. And when you get the ticket, every day the hat store refreshes with 4 different hats. And they're like, I think, 200 new hats. And you redeem a ticket for a hat. I know over the weekend, one of the hats was Isabel from Animal Crossing, and you just put it on, and it's kind of like you have Isabel's hat on, like Isabel's head on top of your head, which is weird.
Oh, God.
but, you know.
It's just kind of creepy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hats. I really wish you could get other customizable clothing, because hats are dumb, but they don't do that.
Yeah.
They have, didn't they add a full Luigi suit or something?
So
you can also purchase that way?
Maybe.
I heard something about that. It's for possible. Year of Luigi.
It's possible. It is the year of Luigi.
Yes.
Speaking of the year, Luigi, we don't have any information on Luigi.
No. His whereabouts are unknown.
Yeah, no. Speaking of the year, Luigi, they unveiled a new Japanese Club Nintendo reward, which was the basically like Luigi soundtrack for the year Luigi with lots of Luigi songs on it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I'm kind of hoping we'll get it over here in the next couple of days. Hopefully, we'll get the announcement for the North American award. Yes. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on, shall we?
Sure.
And talk about some games.
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 So, since Henry's not here, I will be instilling some order into this segment. Much needed structure.
Mm-hmm. Out of chaos.
Yeah. So, Andrew, Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Yes, the fourth Shin Megami Tensei.
You like it a lot and think it's great.
I would like to think if I like it a lot, I would think it's great. But I guess there are games that I would like a lot but think are terrible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Basically, you recommend it to absolutely everyone for everything all the time.
Yes, I recommend everyone who owns a 3DS buy this game, and everyone who doesn't own a 3DS go and buy a 3DS for this game.
Right.
And also other great games on the 3DS, but this one, especially this one.
But so instead of having that as like a 15-minute conversation, let's have this different conversation.
Okay.
For people who have not played a Shin Megami Tensei game before, but have or will be on your direction going to get this game.
Okay.
What are tips for people who have not played Shin Megami Tensei games before going into Shin Megami Tensei 4? How to have fun, what to watch out for, things to know.
Okay, all right. Number one, don't get mad when you die, because you're going to die a lot. And I'm even like in the tutorial, because I probably died at least 5 times during the tutorial battles.
When I die, should I really quickly be trying to hit the power button to reset?
No, that's a good thing. Good thing about it is once you die, you can be resurrected. So, you can come back for a small fee, which steadily increases as you earn more money and gain more levels. So by the end of the game, it doesn't
steadily increase as you die, right?
No, it doesn't. I don't believe it steadily increases as you die, but I could be wrong. I didn't die enough in a row to kind of like, it was like when I died,
guys, Andrew's too good for this segment.
Yeah, I'm too good. Sorry, guys. I died like 2 times at the very beginning, and then a couple of times after that. And I don't remember the price going up that much. But again, that was the tutorial. And then
a flat percentage of your stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I could be. Yeah, I do know that there was one time when I died and they wanted more money than I, like double the amount I even had. So you can pay, but then he'll be like, okay, you're going to have to pay the rest of this back. And basically, as soon as you earn money, it will go towards that. I'm pretty sure it's automatic. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's just automatic.
Okay, so you don't have to go to the post office?
No, you don't have to go. No, you don't have to go to the
That's
demon
way
post
better.
Office.
That's way better.
Unfortunately not. So yeah, there's that. And also, as soon as you die twice, they'll be like, hey, man, there's this easy mode if you want to try that. So,
because you're a baby.
Yeah. Trust me, everyone will die. Everyone who plays this game will probably die a couple of times.
Yeah, I was gonna wait because I am a baby, but I'm a baby who likes $30 in eShop credit, so I'm
I would say the easy mode is still challenging. It doesn't like make it super super easy. But
so is there a mode below that then?
Nope. So unfortunately, it's not Persona 4 Golden with
There's not American easy mode like they've added to all the Fire Emblem games before the recent ones.
No.
Do you remember that with Path of Radiance?
Yeah, I do remember. It was infamous because
they made it. They made an easy mode just for the American release and renamed the other modes to like normal, hard, and insane or something. But then when the Wii game came out and there was a save file transfer, it didn't work for easy mode because it was like, what is this?
Anyway,
I have to actually learn how to play.
Yeah, but
okay.
I would
teach me how to play, Andrew. So right, demons, so what's the deal with these demons?
These demons. Well, I feel like we've had this conversation about 2 months ago with a game called Soul Hackers.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the ability to fuse these demons.
You can?
You have the power.
Come on,
fuse demons.
Oh, come on. I realized we didn't check that last box on our checklist.
You can fuse the demons.
Thank you. All right. So, but negotiating with demons, that's the thing we didn't really talk about last time, and one that I think is maybe a larger thing in this game because it's a more modern. What tips for talking with demons?
All right. So demon talking tips 101. Yeah. Here we go. Let's see. I think the first thing is always be prepared for a demon to run off with your stuff after you give it to them, because they will ask for money and items. The items aren't too bad, because a lot of the items they ask for are like life stones, which you get a million of during the game. And they're basically
You don't want to give away, if they don't join you, don't give it to them.
You can refuse to give something, and sometimes they'll be like, okay, give me this instead. Sometimes they'll just be like, no, I hate you, and then they'll attack you.
But don't just assume that they'll join you if you give them the thing.
Yes.
Factor in that you may get nothing. Okay.
Yeah, there are demons I've talked to. They're like, okay, give me this. Okay, bye. And then they're just gone. And it's pretty funny. Sometimes, though, the demons will come back and be like, hey, I remember when you gave me that stuff. All right, I'll join your party. I changed my mind. But that doesn't happen all that often. So
probably not.
So the demons aren't exactly the friendliest bunch of things out there.
Okay.
Yes, things. I don't know what I was getting at with that. I would recommend trying to go after, like, don't just go after demons that are just the highest level. You can go after just about any demons you can, because chances are you will always find a good combination when you're actually going through the fusion stuff.
Yeah.
I
remember with Soul Hackers, it had these limitations and basically how good a demon you could have. Does 4 have that issue where, like, oh, you're not good enough to have a good demon despite the fact that you already have a good demon?
No, I don't think so. In terms of that's definitely not a problem. And also in terms of the actual fusion, it's great. Take a page from Persona 4 Golden, where you can actually pick the skills for the demons you fuse.
Yeah.
So it's not just like when you select these two demons, they give you a set list, and you have to back out and select it again to get a different list, and it kind of randomizes between the two powers of the two demons you're fusing plus like new abilities. You can actually select pick an entire list of abilities, and it definitely reduces the trial and error. Plus, as soon as you enter the menu, the guy will give you the top three fusion options for you, in case you don't want to have to mess around with. Yes, in case you don't want to think, you could just pick one of the top.
Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, and he'll also give you like the recommended skills too. Like, these are the ones I would recommend you pick, but you don't have to go with those.
Yeah.
And there are special fusions which you unlock once you actually start gaining new demons. Like, one of the first ones I unlocked was Black Frost. So I was like, yeah, Black Frost is awesome. So I got that immediately. So yeah, stuff like that. They only unlocked through special means, but they're well worth it.
Cool.
It's just really, really friendly for newcomers, but it is not.
But it's not that friendly because it's a Shin Megami Tensei game.
Yeah, it's a Shin Megami Tensei game.
It's still a Shin Megami Tensei game, so don't expect.
You can save anywhere.
Cuddles.
You can save anywhere, which is fantastic, especially for a portable game. So.
Well, in a portable game, you can already save anywhere.
Yes.
It's a portable game. You can take it anywhere.
Yeah. That's true. But in game, you can save whenever you want.
Oh, so okay.
That's
helpful.
Helpful. Very helpful.
Not suicidal.
Yes.
That's really that's nice to have. No, you need that.
Yeah, you definitely wanna save often. And again, if you enter a long dungeon and for whatever reason you forget to save before this really tough boss fight, you'll have that option to come back. Again, it'll cost you.
Is this a game where you need to worry about having multiple save files at different points in the game, or is it just kind of charge forward?
No. I mean, I guess I would recommend, if you really want to see all of the endings, there is an obvious point in the game where it'd be like, all right, this is basically where we're gonna pick your ending. Not that blatant, but like.
Is that the usual Shin Megami Tensei mechanic for?
It's like, it's law, chaos, and then neutral. And I think there's a fourth ending. I don't even know what that is. I haven't looked into that yet. But yeah, they're basically, like, I'd say 2/3 of the way through the game, you'll get to this really crazy part, and you'll pick your side, and based on that, the last third of the game will be different. So, and the problem is there are two save slots. So And you'll want to keep one of them for New Game Plus because you can actually carry over stuff to a second playthrough. So if you want to see like the two most basic endings, the Law and Chaos endings, like right away, I would suggest saving once you get to that point where it's basically saying, which do you want? And then going back to that save file and then going through the other one. But other than that, it's not really necessary. I've seen two of the endings so far of the four. They're both kind of messed up, but awesome. So either way, the ending isn't going to be super happy.
Yeah.
But it's also not going to be like, I don't think any of the endings are super depressing either. It's kind of that gray area, like, you know, Shin Megami Tensei likes to do. So
yeah.
Cool. I very, very, very highly recommend this game. It is basically the sequel to Nocturne that a lot of people were looking forward to. So,
but it's the only sequel to Nocturne.
Yes, but it's like the Shin Megami Tensei game.
Of all the sequels to Nocturne, this is the best one, you guys.
Well, some people considered Strange Journey a sequel, but that wasn't, unfortunately.
Didn't have a number on it.
It didn't. And plus there was no Tokyo, so.
What?
Every main series Shin Megami Tensei game takes place in Tokyo, or at least partly in Tokyo.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Also, if you buy this game, go buy Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yeah.
Get your $30.
Register both on Club Nintendo. Yeah. Get $30 in eShop credit. You can use it on the Wii U if you want.
I'll be using it for Ace Attorney.
Yep. That's...
I think I'm going to pick up Harmonite and Dempamen 2. So, Grant,
that seems pretty great.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Cool. All right. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Graham.
Have you been playing the new Civ 5 expansion?
I have.
So, once again, we could have a conversation about how people should probably play Civilization 5 because it's basically like one of the best, if not the best, PC game released in like the past 10 years because it's awesome and great, right?
Yep.
So, we're not going to have that conversation. What I'd like to ask you is what the new expansion, not just what it brings, but what it changes about how a game of Civilization plays.
One of the biggest things I noticed is it sort of forces you out from within your own sort of empire. Like you can't, like one thing that was really kind of jarring about Civ 5 before was how you could basically just like play it safe, make peace with everyone, and then just build up crazy amounts of money and then just win cultural victory without much effort.
Why would you want to do that though? It's fun to crush people.
No, it's fun to be nice to people, and you know,
it was kind of like easy. It was kind of like an easy win because you could really take advantage of the AIs by simply buying their friendship.
But so then, what happens now?
With Brave New World, they've basically rewritten the entire cultural victory, so you have to spread your empire's culture to other parts of the world.
So it works kind of like religion, or
kind of, but you, okay. But it sort of forces you to interact with the other empires and compete with them.
I don't really want to interact with other people.
Yeah, it can causes you to run into more diplomacy and usually ends up in a few wars here and there.
Yeah, so it's you say as... this is something people shouldn't add if they're just getting to Civ 5 now. It's more of a, you've been playing it for, say, a couple of years now, here's a new layer of something interesting.
Yeah, it's sort of designed to add to the later game.
Compared to Gods and Kings, do you think there's more there, less there, really not comparable? What do you think?
I think it's probably about the same. Like they did the same sort of changes to out of the core mechanics added. There's like this usual set of new civilizations and new wonders and scenarios and stuff.
Yeah. So for me, my favorite thing with Civilization expansions is like when they add crazy like scenarios and like really well crafted from like actual staff things.
Yeah. They only added two of those and they aren't really crazy. They're more like they're just sort of like historical events.
Oh.
Like one thing I really liked about some of the older Civ games was where they'd add like these crazy scenarios where all of a sudden you're playing in space.
Yeah.
Or
and like there was one where it turned it into like a almost Diablo style RPG. Yeah. Yeah. That stuff was fun. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like an engine limitation with 5, but they haven't really done that much of it.
I wonder if it's because they don't want to infringe on the types of things that people are actually modding into it themselves. They wanted to go with more historical based stuff and let the fans make the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe like they employ a staff of people who are good at making turn based strategy games, so they should just stick to those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they got all their science fiction out of their systems with XCOM.
They better have more in their systems because we want more XCOM.
We want another XCOM.
We want 6 more XCOMs.
More XCOM.
No, just 5. The 6th one will go bad. I've learned from our mistakes on that one. We can't ask for more than 5 more.
So 5 more, and then that's just no more XCOMs.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, question, are you counting the Bureau as the second XCOM then?
No.
In this list of XCOMs?
That's not an XCOM.
Yeah, it's XCOM declassified, though.
No. But once you declassify it, it's not XCOM.
That's
all right.
I mean, let's be
that is before XCOM.
Yeah.
Pre-XCOM.
Yeah.
Declassified.
Right. Okay. So, Sean and Lucas, you have both been playing a notable release.
I think we might have different opinions on it.
Yeah. So, and while I had to say that Andrew and Jeff, we went ahead and skipped the conversation where we said it was really, really good and everyone should buy it. That's not a problem with this one, I don't think. So, before I jump into it, do you want to say a little bit about what it is, the game that you've been playing?
Time and Eternity? Well, it's an anime styled game from NISA.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a princess who's getting married, and on her wedding day, they're attacked by assassins, and her husband to be is killed defending her. Then they go back in time and try to stop it from happening.
Yep. Okay, so we're being really careful here. But basically, would either of you recommend that anyone play this game?
No.
I had a lot of back and forth kind of internal strife when I was playing this game.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it gives you Stockholm Syndrome.
Okay.
Because the more I played it, the more I was like, oh, this isn't so bad. And then I'd reach a point where like, oh, yeah, right, I forgot. I'm jarred back to reality. This is pretty bad.
So,
if your primary investment in an RPG is the kind of presentation, the writing, the visuals, the story, then you probably don't want to touch it at all. But
yeah,
I really, really enjoyed the combat and the mechanics.
So, what I was going to ask you guys to do is sell me on Time and Eternity.
Okay.
Do you get motion sickness?
What?
Sometimes.
Then no, you shouldn't buy it. What, sorry,
you're doing a really bad job.
The walking around the places gave me motion sickness from the movements.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay.
Anyway, back to trying to sell you on it.
Yeah, Lucas.
It has very,
give
very good music.
Sure. Okay. So this is a Image Epoch developed game.
Yeah.
And it's after I kind of realized that. And it just didn't happen until I went back to kind of play around with Blackrock Shooter.
Mm-hmm.
It's really familiar to Blackrock Shooter and also the Fate Stay Night game they did a year or so ago.
They also did Arcryst Fantasia, right?
Yeah, but I didn't play that, so I can't really comment.
Yeah, so
but
I played it, and I've at least seen a couple trailers for Time and Eternity, so I think Time and Eternity has better voice acting.
That's
really?
That's Arkrai's Fantasia has really, really, like...
Arkrai's Fantasia is, if we had a conversation of the worst voice acting in games, it may be there. I think there's probably worse voice acting, but not in an RPG.
There's that game on the PS2 that was GameStop exclusive that had, the guy from Gungrave in it, and...
Chaos Wars?
And, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that is like absolute bottom of the barrel, but Arkrai's Fantasia is just barely above that.
Yeah, I just remember playing it in demos and things before it released, and it seemed really cool, but those were all battle segments with no audio. And then when I got it, if you turn it, you can turn off the voices, but then they still have the cutscenes and they're all timed, so it's just awkward
silence. Pauses, yeah.
But that was better than listening to the voice acting.
That's true.
So this is better than that?
Maybe. I haven't played those, but I have trouble imagining them being better.
Oh, no. okay, so... So the music is good?
The music's good.
Is there a mode where you just listen to the music? Sound like a sound test?
Yeah, it's a Koshiro soundtrack. It sounds pretty similar to his usual work.
Yeah.
It's very kind of pleasant and whimsical.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily match the tone of where you're at necessarily in the world.
But you didn't like where you're at in the world, so it's better.
Yeah. Oh, no. Just close your eyes and it feels nice.
So you're selling the soundtrack, not the game.
Yeah. Oh.
Can I still talk about the combat?
Please.
I didn't really
need
to do that. Okay. I'm going to try and... There's a lot I feel to say about it. I'm going to try and rein it in and ball it up in as best way I can.
Okay.
But it's very, very kind of reaction-based. It's really fast. It's kind of an action title. It's really similar to Black Rock Shooter in that your character is stationary and you can only move to dodge or attack. You can't say run around the field like you're playing a Tails game or a Star Ocean or something.
Okay, and, Andrew, are you listening?
Yeah. Yeah.
You said it's not like a Tails game. Are you interested
in
it now?
I am about I'm about 1% more interested.
Okay, we're getting there.
Okay.
Because the game's unfortunate major selling point is that it's supposed to be an interactive anime.
Yeah.
The animation aspect is really important as far as kind of knowing when you need to dodge, when you need to attack, because there's a lot of emphasis on committal to what you're doing. Almost like a fighting game.
Okay.
Like say in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, if you press a button, you're committed to that action.
Gotcha.
If you're mashing on the control stick like a crazy person, you're gonna get hit.
That was me.
Yeah. And it's the same kind of thing here. A lot of people complain that there's a lot of reuse of enemies and palette swapping.
Yeah.
In the game, which I think is actually almost intentional, other than the obvious budget problems.
Yeah, it seems like hand drawing things would take a long time. So.
Yeah, but just mechanically speaking, because you saw a lot of that in Fate Extra and Black Rock Shooter as well, because it's so reliant on you kind of figuring out what to do during combat.
Hmm.
So the more you kind of encounter the similar types of enemies, I'm going to start thinking about when I'm going to need to attack, when I'm going to need to dodge and defend myself.
It's almost kind of like a retro thing. Before you could look things up, when you were going up against Zelda and Mario enemies and things, because they looked the same, you knew basically how to deal with them. So, we just haven't seen a lot of that recently.
There'll be enemies that mix it up still.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a better idea. It's another tool with which you can defend yourself.
Right.
Instead of a more traditional RPG where they can have more variation than enemies because they're just pictures that are sitting there and it's all turn-based. So I just had a lot of fun, even if I didn't care whatsoever about what was going on, and was even kind of offended because the game has some pretty horrible draconian ideas on the role of women in marriages and stuff. But
it's an NIS game.
And it's
there are buddies too. I feel really, but also, they've put out some really rough... rough stuff because it's Japanese stuff.
I had so much fun with the battle system. I'm still kind of playing the game on and off.
Yeah.
So,
it
really depends on what you want out of your RPGs.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty hard.
It leans into things that aren't usually the things people buy RPGs for, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. The only times I really found myself enjoying it were when I was running around getting in the battles and stuff. It's probably because of the way it works with the rhythms and stuff, it was difficult for me to dodge attacks correctly, but I did find myself enjoying the battles more than the rest of it, for the most part. It's just, they get easy sometimes. Mm. Whenever you do learn the patterns, you won't get hit. And then you just dodge the attacks and then hit them with a firebolt or something, and they blow up in one hit.
It definitely suffers from its budget big time.
Yeah.
If this was a game that had more money, it probably would have been a lot more well-received.
Hopefully.
But yeah, they just didn't have the money to pull off their ambition, really.
Yeah, but it's experimental and different, right? There are things about this game that are like nothing else out there, and I will always say you should make also, that stuff.
It falls in line pretty well with a lot of MNGPOC's past games, kind of like I was saying, mechanically.
Yeah.
So if you look back at their older games, it makes sense what they're doing with this.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a good idea, not necessarily executed correctly.
Do you think if there were, for some reason, a sequel, that it could get some things right? Or would it just still suffer from, like,
I think it would still suffer from the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it had a bigger budget, then yeah, I think they could definitely make it a good game out of a sequel.
If they dropped the hand-drawn anime thing and just kind of made something more along the lines of Black Rock Shooter, for example.
Yeah. Or drop voice acting entirely. Because you don't need that to make a good game. You can take that budget and put it into the animation.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's there's some, like, straight-up Hotel Mario stuff going on in some of the animated scenes.
Man.
Just want to throw that out there.
Oh, man.
Like, there's these scenes where they're sitting around the table talking, and the main character will, like, cross and uncross her legs, like, 3 times in a row, and each time there's, like, different frames of animation missing.
Yeah, that's interesting, Lucas, because you were covering it elsewhere, but Sean finished a review, and it should be live as you're listening to this, but also brought up the CDI nature of a lot of this stuff. Sorry.
It really
if
made
you're
me
the
sad.
Only company who gets to use Mario and Zelda licenses, you gotta use, like, how do you not spend money on that stuff? Anyway, But yeah, so, you know, Dumb and Turning didn't seem bad. Maybe not necessarily worth checking out for a lot of people, but it's not the worst thing.
Yeah, physical release from what I understand, so yeah. I wouldn't be above renting it at all for anyone. Just
yeah,
a friend of mine,
$5 down, play it for a week.
A friend of mine just bought his yesterday because he buys everything from NASA, whether it's good or not.
They do a really good job with presentation and packaging and. You know, that part they do really well.
Yeah,
they got the guy from Bakemono Gatari to do the character design outside of the game, so the box art's really pretty.
Oh, man. So, yeah, hey, you want a cool box. Look, most of your games you're not playing. Most of your games you're putting on your shelf. It looks pretty good on your shelf.
Yeah.
So.
Load screens.
Time and eternity. It looks nice on your shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on.
Graham, you've been playing NCAA Football 14. I don't know if you want to talk much about it.
Sure. What do you want to know?
Do you like it? Because I like 13.
Do you like it?
Maybe.
Have you won the national championship for your team, for your school yet?
Yes.
Because I can't do that for my school.
As it turns out, I'm super, super good at the new recruiting system. But yeah, so here's the thing with NCAA Football 14. Not a lot has changed, but very specific parts were changed that made a big difference. One, Ultimate Team. I don't know if you've ever used Ultimate Team, but it's been in like Madden and FIFA and things. There's Ultimate Team in this now. It's a little weird because they can't use actual college players. So you're collecting former college players who are currently in the NFL. Not anyone who's... Oh yeah, they have a couple of retired people. They had to go out and like... license manually, but most of them are active players. But they're just in their college uniforms. It's a little, I don't know. But basically, whatever, it's Ultimate Team. The two biggest changes to the game are one, the recruiting system in the dynasty mode, has been simplified. So it's not, oh, you have 2 hours and you have to call recruits and sometimes they don't answer the phone and like they took a lot of the simulation aspects out of it and made it more of like an actual strategy thing, where you just allocate points to things. So it's a lot easier to understand, and that part's great. People who want it to feel like they're sitting at a desk calling people might not like it as much, but there was just some blind luck to the old system that they just kind of wiped out of the way in favor of knowing what the heck is going on. Which is nice.
I was somehow good at taking advantage of that blind luck. I don't know why. Yeah. But I was much better at recruiting than actually playing.
Well, me too. but then they've also added this like skill trees into the Dynasty system where you level up and like class out your coach to be good at different stuff, which is pretty cool. Like you can spec him to be good at recruiting or be good at like, you know, teaching, you know, proper spacing on defense or something. It's interesting. It's interesting. But on the field, the main thing is that they have added option stuff. I don't know, Sean, you've played a lot of previous games, you know, like most sim football games, you don't really do the option at all because it doesn't work.
Yeah. Not since like 09.
Yeah.
When all you could do was the option, cause that was the most powerful thing you could do.
Yeah. So this time they've brought the option back, and put in like 30 new option plays. It's pretty crazy. But they work. And it's not as easy to do or quite, you know, as effective as, say, going back to the old NFL Street games where everything was just an option. But it feels like that. Like, it just feels super easy to, like, be running and then run over to the side and then pitch it to whoever you want to pitch it to. And it's, you know, previously when you pitched it, basically, like, they'd stop to catch it and then they'd just be tackled, so it was ever. So it was just not fun. It's super cool to use now. There are a couple other changes they've done. You can check out the review for more, but basically they're trying out new things, and if they work, they'll put them in the next generation version of NCAA we're inevitably getting next year. If they don't work, they won't, and it won't matter because, of course, it's a new, whole new engine, whole new system, whole new game. Why would they have the same stuff? So it's a perfect year for them to experiment, and they're doing that.
Hooray!
Sounds
also
good.
There's connect commands.
Oh man!
But there's no sandwich bag. I was really sad. That's a shame. I was hoping I could walk away, call plays, and let them run the plays, you know. But it's all kind of supplemental. Like if you want to say audibles out loud instead of hitting the buttons before a play, you can do that. Also, it doesn't work.
That's a big problem. I would say. Yeah. So, I was gonna say if you're gonna try that, you should go all the way with it. But I guess if it doesn't work, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. But hey, it's they added the Infinity Engine, so if you want more realistic looking tackles, that's,
and who doesn't?
I don't know. I guess everybody wants more realistic.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared to answer that question. I'm sorry. All right. Let's move on to our main topic, shall we, Andrew?
All right, so it's kind of a dry month for games.
Yeah.
But
not a dry bones month.
I don't know. No. I bought like four.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dry month.
Tensei came out.
It's kind of a dry month for new releases outside of maybe one or two noteworthy games.
I mean, everybody's buying Time and Eternity, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's what everyone's.
And everyone else is getting Smurfs.
What?
What?
Smurfs 2 is coming out this month. You didn't know?
I knew, but I didn't.
No. Is there a video game? Is that what you're saying? There's a video game?
Smurfs 2 the video game. Anyone not getting Time and Eternity is getting that.
Oh, right.
Real talk, I was actually really shocked to see GameStop advertising Time and Eternity the other day.
That's
great.
It's nice that they have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, dry month.
Yes, dry month.
We kind of ruined that for you.
Basically, there are games coming out after this month is over, thankfully. New games, lots of them.
Like Madden.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. We're just gonna talk about Madden. We're gonna talk about how excited we are.
30 seconds just so we can get into the segment. And then we can get back to being ludicrous.
Okay.
So basically I'm just gonna go around and ask everyone what their two most anticipated games of the second half of 2013 are. Okay.
Thanks for narrowing that down.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yes. They're most anticipated games of all time. All time. For the year 2016.
I meant the two part.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I could pick 10 if I needed to, but yeah, just two is good. So Lucas, we'll start with you.
Sure.
Give me your two.
All right. Well, this might be a little silly, but I'm really excited that DuckTales Remastered is coming out on my birthday.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's great. I'm not used to having cool video games come out on my birthday. Usually it's like some big silly movie DuckTales is something I was excited about before. Now I'm really happy about it.
That game looks really cool. I'm glad they got WayForward to do that.
I really hope it doesn't bomb.
I mean, a lot of people are excited about it, but that never actually means much sometimes. Yeah.
It's coming out on everything.
It should be good. I've seen it. It looks pretty
good. That helped Rayman out.
So, yeah.
And then my second game is Tropical Freeze.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Donkey Kong Country
has always kind of had this huge sentimental value to me as a series. It was my first game ever. I played it a lot with my dad, stuff like that. So when I went out to Best Buy and played like Donkey Kong Country in HD for the first time, it's pretty big for me.
That fur looks nice.
It loops around. It's like
the whole dynamic camera thing that a lot of people were kind of making shots at on Twitter. It's actually cool and something you don't really see a lot in traditional platformers. So it's actually a cool new feature, as silly as it might sound on paper.
I mean, it doesn't change the gameplay like straight up at all.
Well, kind of actually. I only played the first level, but in the barrel section, the kind of shifts in perspective made it a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
In some ways. But it's definitely good. And they got rid of the stupid blowing thing from the first game. So
that I enjoyed killing Graham and myself on the carts.
He's really good at sabotaging any hope you have of completing things.
It felt like New Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong style.
Oh. All right. So, Jeff, what are your two games?
First, I'm going to go with a fairly obvious Watch Dogs.
Okay. Yes. Yes. I was considering saying that, but I figured someone would before me. So tell me what is exciting about Watch Dogs besides everything?
that's hard to work on right there.
Probably the biggest thing that has me interested in it is like just watching the trailers and the videos that have been shown, just showing all of the sort of solutions to situations in the game that are solved through like hacking or manipulating the environment instead of just like a straight up GTA style shootout.
Yeah.
I will always appreciate a game that lets you go the stealth route instead of fighting guys head on. So that's always a plus in my book.
And my second game, the July release that everyone was forgetting about, Rise of the Triad.
Oh yeah, that's coming out this month.
End of July.
Yep.
I completely forgot about that.
Really have a thing for crazy fast PC shooters, and there is a little bit of nostalgia factor for me because it was one of the first games that I bought at retail.
Oh, cool.
I used to be that. I used to like games like that, but I'm kind of a console guy now.
Yeah, and just
for better or worse.
Just watching everything about it, it just seems like one of the best sort of remastered old games to come out recently.
Yeah, seems really cool. Did you played the original? Would you say that's like that's a personal favorite of yours?
Yeah. I just really liked how. Like, especially in the multiplayer, just having all the different weapons was one of the few games that sort of had more than just like 8 different kinds of guns.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, so Sean.
Yeah.
What are your two picks?
Well, one of mine was taken when Jeff decided to talk about Watch Dogs. So instead, I'll have to go with Total War Rome 2 for that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's strategy, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm really bad at naval battles, and I'm hoping to get better.
Is it just looking forward to the learning experience?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's a historical simulation. You're going to lose all of Rome.
I'm hoping to not do it because I'm bad at naval battles.
Okay, so you want to just do it by general decay and political strife?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the way to lose an empire. Yeah. Not because you can't hit a boat.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good fair. Advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other one is probably...
Yeah.
Having to think closely.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I'll go with Saints Row.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we both played some Saints Row at E3, and it's kind of... Like, I only kind of liked Saints Row the Third. It was good, but I don't know. It just felt a little too GTA. There's still a lot of that this time, but it's leaning really heavy into the, like, actual
ridiculous
game. I guess. Oh, yeah. Well, it's still crazy ridiculous.
Yes.
What the heck? You're the president, and you're basically back in the Matrix.
Yes.
So, yeah. And you have superpowers.
Yeah, and you're running.
They're really fun Keith superpowers. David.
Yeah.
Vice President Keith David.
Why not?
A number of the superpowers, Andrew, felt like kind of like some of the prototype superpowers.
Oh, man.
Like, you can run really fast, and that lets you glide through the air or run up sides of buildings.
Yeah.
See, that's the one thing. Both prototype games are kind of never talked about, and I can't really say I blame people for forgetting they exist, but the one thing those games did really well was just making you feel really powerful.
Yeah. Hey, Prototype's so the first game I reviewed for the site, so
that's true.
Yep.
I'm never gonna forget that one.
Wah, wah.
It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna have to build your way up to feeling ridiculously powerful near the end.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
But yeah, once you get there, they were showing that off, and that's just, it's just crazy. You just straight up, like, run faster than cars, leap whole buildings, just whatever. Doesn't matter.
Also run through cars.
Yeah.
Also, run through cars.
I think it's sort of, Saints Row the Third really started it, but I love that they've just sort of embraced this crazy, out-of-this-world aspect to the game.
Yeah.
Saints Row 2 kind of did. It definitely, the first one was more serious.
Yeah.
More of a actual GTA clone. The second one was when they started embracing the idea that the world doesn't need two GTAs. Let's just make something that's that type of game.
Yeah.
But kind of ridiculous.
But I think 3 kind of took it to a different.
Well, when the first mission has you killing people on the way down as you eject from a plane.
Yep.
And then fly through the plane and kill everyone in it.
Yep.
After it crashes into you. Yeah. Yep. Definitely took that to another level.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, man.
That's got to be one of the best intro missions in any game.
Yes.
Well, look, Saints Row 4 has one where you're just walking through the White House deciding on policy.
And punching people.
And punching people.
Yeah, punching politicians you don't like.
But, legislative policy mission.
What are the two mission. Choices?
I cured cancer.
Yeah, cancer, and what was the other one? Like
solve world hunger.
Peace? Solve world hunger.
Yeah, or world hunger, okay. Yeah.
Only one or the other. You can't do both.
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe that was the exact line of dialogue, Sean. Okay.
All right, Graham.
Yeah.
You have games you're excited about. I hope so. I'll be very sad if you don't.
I don't know, I guess. Let me talk about a couple, then.
I know there's at least one you're excited about.
Name two. I'm just going to give you two.
Hey, Sean, what am I excited about? Chana apparently knows.
Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
That's fine.
No? Really?
I'll have to get to the point of that. That's not on my list because they did some strange things with the aesthetic.
Oh.
But I mean, it'll probably be fine. So the first one I want to talk about, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this game was not at E3, so I couldn't talk about it then, but it's coming out next month, okay?
Ooh.
And it's by Sega, right?
Uh-huh.
And it has this Japanese appeal that isn't here, right?
Yeah.
It's in this genre that's not particularly popular, but people who like it really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Project Eva. See, you thought I was going to say Valkyria Chronicles, but nope, we're not getting that one.
Actually, I knew exactly what you were going to say.
But, no, so, it's, I mean, all weirdness aside, and that thing has a lot of weirdness, it's just a really fun rhythm game. And it,
I like it's I fun. Like fun rhythm games.
And it's a rhythm game. And
also, yeah, it's a Vita game. And we need those
in these games.
Well, it's not releasing for the Vita here.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
we're
just PS4 here?
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard my voice, but I said F like a capital F, not F. Like,
oh.
It's F.
Yeah.
It's Project Diva F. And this is Project Diva F. Yeah?
There's
poor Vita.
So, yes, this is a PS3 game. But anyway, it's fun. I mean, you have to like the songs because they're weird, like, Vocaloid songs, but I don't know. It's dumb. And, like, if you beat a song, you can go back and replace any of the characters in the, like, the video behind it with any of the other characters and any of the costumes you've unlocked. So you can make it seem really dumb, which is pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There are weird parts of that game, but I really like the rhythm part. I imported the Vita game, and it was fun. So I'd like to be able to understand the menus. I feel like that would...
The fact that we're getting it is really cool.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, I mean, whatever. It's only $50, and it's a like a physical release, and they're doing a good job getting it here. And yeah, I think it's mainly that we're getting it, and I'm excited that we are.
It's definitely a far cry from what Namco Bandai did with Idolmaster.
Yeah! So... Yeah, released what, 4 iOS games on the same day with no promotion, and then the iOS games were like $60 a piece or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So
no way that can go wrong.
Yeah, and this is just a straight up rhythm game and not some kind of like crazy idol simulation or anything.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's weird, but. It's, I don't know, I'm happy that we're getting it. So let's talk about a game that's a little more normal.
This is another one on the list. Is it coming out like the next week?
Huh?
Is it coming out the next week?
No.
Okay.
Literally any game would be more normal than probably Project Diva F. So it's this game, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's like a platformer game, right? I mean, that's pretty standard. Those are platformer games. But you can play it with your friends.
How many?
Three of your friends. And it's on the Wii U. It's pretty great.
Are there cats involved?
That is the remaining question. Are there cats involved? Yes. Yes, there are cats involved.
Ooh. All right. I'm with you on this one.
Yeah. So for my second spot, I was trying to decide whether I was more excited about Super Mario 3D World, which has cats, or Rayman Legends, which does not have cats. And while I think Rayman Legends will be a great game, Ubisoft has made me wait a little too long for me to be super excited about it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, we'll be excited once it's here.
We'll just play
excited.
It.
Yeah. Well, I'll be excited.
Man, I was wrong about both your games.
Yeah. but so, yeah, Super Mario 3D World, there's a cat. The cat's kind of game-breaking. I'm going to put that out.
Unless I'm the one playing the cat.
When you have the cat power up, you don't have to worry about jumping ever. You just straight up run up walls instead of climbing up things. I don't know. You run up the flagpole. Yeah, so I like cats.
The flagpole
I'm allergic
thing
to cats.
Is a heck of a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. But yeah, so like I like cats, but I can't have them physically near me because I will be miserable because I'm allergic to cats. So, but these aren't real cats. These are fake cats.
My character must be allergic to cats in Mario World. Or in 3D World, rather. Because I was a cat for half a second.
That was because I was unintentionally most of the time, but intentionally a couple of times because it came a running joke, just taking all the cat power-ups.
Well, you gave it to me once, and then I immediately ran into an enemy.
Yeah, so I decided you weren't worthy anymore.
So,
yeah, I know.
So Graham was playing a co-op new Mario game the way you're supposed to play a co-op new Mario game.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And I was playing it like I play every Mario game, which is run into the enemies.
I have a question. When
I can't beat Mario games.
Played at E3. Did you get to play multiple levels in the demo, or did you kind of get?
Yeah. So there were three levels. I think I just played one with Sean, but I played some more later. So I mean, it's I don't know. They all felt like 3D World levels, but you didn't ever have to deal with any of the obstacles at all because you were a cat. I don't know how Sean felt because he wasn't a cat. So it's probably felt like, I don't know.
It felt fun when I was a cat until I hit the back.
For that half a second.
Yes. I was like, I'm a cat. Yeah. Oh, no, no, not a cat anymore. And then I died. I fell down a hole.
Also, yeah.
I think I would have lived if I was a cat still.
Well, you would
Princess Peach.
Yeah.
His thing, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, so yes. that may be even better than the cat thing. I joke about the cat thing, but the fact that they have the different abilities is pretty great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Peach is the best. I've heard some people talking since these have come back. I've heard a lot of chatter about that. Apparently, there's a subset of people that think that Peach is not very good, whereas I'm pretty sure Peach is the only one you should ever use.
I mean, yeah.
So
I literally couldn't beat Mario 2 without Peach.
But, yeah.
I mean, hover.
Yeah.
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 If your choice is hover or not hover, obviously hover. You go with hover.
Unless we're talking racing games, okay?
True.
We don't want any Diddy Kong shenanigans up in here.
I like that Toad is pretty notably distinct too.
Yeah.
Like even probably more so than in Mario 2.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about him in Mario 2 was he was really good at pulling up turnips, which is a thing.
There are no turnips in this game.
So
as far as we know.
Yep. I hope you're able to, I mean, this was not available in the demo, but since the characters play differently, I'm hoping there's possibility that you can use multiple versions of the same character. That's probably too much to hope for, right?
Probably.
Yeah. I just want different colors of Peach.
No, I think you'll have battles over who's Peach and who's not.
Nah, there's no battles. I'm Peach. Or get out of my apartment.
What about Peach Cat?
I'll also be a cat. I don't. Well, yes.
Well, that's a good question. I didn't get to play as Peach when I played.
No, I mean, it's not super game-breaking because, again, there's the cat. So the fact that you can hover doesn't really matter because you can just run things.
True, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think they're balanced fairly well if you're going to play it single player and be a lame person like Andrew's going to do.
Yeah, that's me.
Yep.
That's me.
He's always lame. He does that with Rayman. He does that with Marco. I don't understand. You're playing it wrong.
I know.
You're incorrect. It's not. This isn't a difference of opinion. This is a difference of fact.
Well,
let me be incorrect by myself, okay? God, come on.
No.
If we leave you alone incorrect, you'll never learn better.
Yeah.
I'm not. I refuse.
Okay, so speaking of you being a lame-o, what are your lame-o that you're looking forward to in your lame-o year?
Hey, Graham and Sean probably remember this, but we did this last year, and I said Rayman Legends was the game I was most looking forward to. Do you remember that?
That was
pretty funny, and it's still not out yet. But I'm not going
to
say that.
It's also funny. It's hilarious that we haven't gotten to play a game that's been done for 6 months.
I feel like your other game also didn't come out last time either. But I could be.
I don't.
Hey, Andrew, can't wait for that Wii U launch window.
Yeah, man. Wii U still here. We're still in the launch window because we still haven't got Wonderful 101 yet either.
Or Pikmin.
So. Yeah. So
it's a very crowded launch window.
Yeah, it's great. Well, actually, no, it's not very crowded because there's nothing on the Wii U.
We're about to hit the crowded part.
6 month hole.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, besides that, the two I am actually really most excited about. The first would be, I know one. I think Lucas will agree with me on this. Killer is Dead.
Which
looks incredible and it looks very Suda 51.
That would have been my pick if DuckTales wasn't my birthday, basically.
So Capcom swayed you, basically.
Yeah. Okay. They gave me a birthday present.
Yeah, but
you'll
have
to pay for.
Still, pay us for your birthday present, please. Killer. Yes, it is Suda 51. But in terms, if Suda 51 was if that was a verb, then this game would be very Suda 51, incredibly Suda 51.
Well, it doesn't seem like. It's a scale. It's more of a binary thing. It is or it isn't, and it is.
Lollipop Chainsaw was kind of Suda 51. I don't think it was Suda 51 enough.
I don't. This is hurting my brain.
I'm sorry.
Sliding scale.
There's the guy who makes the thing, and it's his thing. So it's not more.
Just don't think about it.
It's trinary. I got it.
Yeah. What? Okay. But it looks it's basically a spiritual successor to Killer 7 and No More Heroes, two of my favorite Suda games.
Yeah.
Two, arguably his best games so far. And this kind of looks like it's combining the crazy, ridiculous plot from Killer 7. Maybe not that crazy. I guess I can't say for sure until I play it. With the awesome combat from No More Heroes. So yeah, I'm on board. I mean, it's a Suda game, so I would be anyway. But you know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is this not the first time a Suda game is getting, awesome physical goodies on launch?
Yeah, you're.
Yeah, Exceed.
Yeah, Exceed. Yeah.
That's really exciting too.
So you didn't like the inflatable chainsaw?
was that actually a pre-order?
Was that a thing?
That was a pre-order thing.
Man,
for Lollipop Chainsaw.
I missed that completely.
Yeah, I never. I remember the DLC costumes, but I don't.
No,
but yeah. With this, you get like the art book and I think a soundtrack, and it's,
yep.
it comes. Does it come in a steelbook case too?
Or am I just making that up?
Okay, yeah, I feel like most pre-order bonuses have steelbook cases.
Yeah, I don't think like Exceed hasn't done that. So
okay, all right, maybe not, but it's still it's a great deal, and you're just getting it for like first run copies of the game, I think so.
Yeah, it feels like this like Suda games have been sort of bounced around publishers in North America, and I think they finally
Man.
They finally found one that sort of fits what they're making.
Definitely.
And unfortunately, his next game's from Bandai Namco. Bandai, excuse me.
Okay. Wait, Bandai Namco.
That's pretty good. Just happened.
That's the bizarre.
I think we're recording this, Lucas.
Yeah, I got ahead of myself. Point still stands.
I like it. I think that's a better name.
Yeah.
Kind of is, yeah.
Okay.
I'll send them an email about it.
No, we'll just unilaterally change it.
Okay.
On their behalf.
All right. And I guess the second game is...
Yeah?
This didn't make my list till about, I'd say, a couple days ago when they released this awesome video for it. But Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag.
There are pirate ships in that game.
There are pirate ships. You are an assassin pirate. Pirate assassin.
Right.
And you're sailing around this open world, and you have a pirate ship, and you're in the pirate ship. All the time. It's not just part of the game, like Assassin's Creed 3. It's all the time. Pirates, ships, ship combat.
Yeah.
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 If you couldn't tell, I'm kind of.
Yeah. That was the thing that as soon as I could access it in the third game, I pretty much did as much of it as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the best part of Assassin's Creed 3. So they basically just took that and like, we're just going to make a whole game out of it. And, you know, pirates too. So. Thumbs up. Again, thumbs up.
Okay.
This one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are games we're excited about.
Yeah.
You should be excited about games, too. Tell us in the comments.
Yes. We want to hear your enthusiasm.
Trust me, this could go on longer if we weren't limited to two.
Let's just name names of games that haven't yet released or have released or are currently releasing.
Right.
Or haven't yet been conceived, but we want them to be conceived.
I'm happy with just all of August, really.
Yeah, okay. August is pretty great.
Mm.
I mean,
get Dive Kick finally.
Dive Kick, yeah, that comes out the same day as Saints Row 4 and The Bureau, both of which I'm really excited about.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And then the following week is Killer is Dead, and then two weeks before that is Pikmin and Mario and Luigi, which according to Sean, Graham is excited about.
I am excited about it, but there are things that have me hesitant about that game that I have to play it before I decide, so it doesn't make my two most excited lists. But yes, Mario and Luigi games are usually incredibly good, and I think this will at least be probably good. The art style may be weird, but yeah.
I like the art style.
I like the art style, but when I saw it in motion, it didn't quite feel as natural as I was hoping, I guess.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, that's going to be pretty good. Hey, Tales of Zillia comes out next month, which Sean is happy about, and Andrew's going to say absolutely nothing.
So does Dive Lost Planet 3.
Dive Kick, yeah. I mean, Dive Kick's a game.
Crossbuy,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm buying Zillia, but it's going to bounce around a while because I'm not going to be here to receive my delivery.
Great. Oh, did you ever get your Ouya?
No, I did not.
Wait, didn't they try to deliver it like 2 months ago?
Yeah, they did. And then I went to pick it up at the depot 2 days later, and they'd already sent it back.
Man, what's the deal with Canada, you guys? What's the deal? Why can't you
I don't know, but I think I'm realizing why nobody ever sends anything by DHL here.
Yep. It's a shame Henry isn't here to help answer that question.
Yeah. We'll have to ask him. Wait, we'll just have to check back in. Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Send back. That's.
Yeah. Are you just done? What do you?
They're gonna send it back to me again. Apparently.
One of these days.
So when I finally get the Ouya, it's going to have been basically around the world twice.
Can you like walk to stores right now and it's in stores?
I could, but I already I already kickstarted $100.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like, wouldn't it be more efficient for them to just keep that one, send it somewhere else, and then just give like, hey, here's money, go get it. Oh man,
like they could just be like, yeah, Amazon, just send it via here, because you guys actually know how to send things to people.
Yeah, I hear Amazon.ca is really, really efficient. Fine. Trying to make joke.
I'm sorry, I don't live in Canada. I can't. No joke for me.
My last Canada joke failed.
It's a Scott joke.
I don't get it.
All right. So with that round of disappointment, let's end the episode.
Yay!
Yeah, so next time we'll be talking about what happens in the next 2 weeks, you guys.
I could just talk about Shin Megami Tensei 4 some more.
Okay.
I could talk about it by then too.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just let Henry come back by himself and just talk about Dota 2.
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah. Upset. I mean, he seems like he never has a game to talk about, so this we should just have the Henry Dota episode.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's been saving up.
If someone sends me a invite to join it, I can talk about it with him.
There you go.
I've 10.
So I think we'll have that covered. All right. But yeah. So yeah. For Andrew, Sean, Jeff, Lucas, and Graham. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.